In Luke 2, starting in verse 25, it reads, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel.' The good news of great joy that was proclaimed by the angel was that Jesus, this baby born in Bethlehem, was the awaited Messiah. The story of Jesus was the completion and the fulfillment of the story of Israel. And that is the meaning and the significance of the story of Christmas. And right here in the middle of the Christmas story, there's this man, Simeon. He was an old man, and he was one of maybe just a handful of people who had remembered how to live in hope. To hold on to hope through the years, through the waiting, through the doubts and fears, through all those years of longing. He was one of the few who still believed that time is no time at all to God. And one day, Simeon was likely just going about his daily business, going through his routine, and somehow something happened. Luke calls it being moved by the Holy Spirit, but somehow Simeon knew that he ought to go into the temple courts. And so he went. I don't know if it was a voice or just some kind of inner prompting, but he knew it was time to go. And he showed up right when Mary and Joseph were bringing Jesus in. And they put Jesus in Simeon's arms, and his response is amazing. Essentially, he said, "I can now die in peace. God, I'm ready to go. This is all I was waiting on." Because when so many other people had this man, he had that special sensitivity. He had that spiritual ability to hope and to keep hoping. He said, "My eyes have seen your salvation. You can now dismiss your servant in peace." There was another woman later on in verse 36 through 38. It says, "There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped God night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem." You know, I wonder what it was like to talk to Anna. Luke says she was very old, and when she was probably very young, she got married. She was just married for 7 years, and then she was a widow all the way until she was 84 years old. But in all that time, through her whole life, it says she never left the temple. Night and day, she was praying and fasting. And when they brought Jesus in, I find this really interesting. It says she spoke about this child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. And when I read that recently, I thought, well, how did she know who the people were who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. Because it's all she thought about, and it's probably all she talked about. Night and day, she was always worshiping. And she was looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And she was just there in the community at the temple and in the temple courts. She was there and she was always praying and fasting and worshiping and thinking about the promises of God. She also had not forgotten to live in hope, how to live in hope. And I think she drew other people of hope to her. You know, it can seem lonely to live in hope. With all the longing and the waiting on God. You know, there's a part of us that would rather live by sight. There's a part of us that at times is pulled toward trying to satisfy our longings with things that we can see. But right here in the middle of the Christmas story, we have two witnesses to hope. Simeon and Anna, a holy man and a holy woman. Wise people, seers, those who really see, the kind of people who really get it. And they're witnesses to hope. They're people who hadn't forgot how to live in hope through the waiting, through the longing, believing the promises of God, even when it's been a long time. And I love it that these two stories are in here right in the middle of the Christmas story. People whose stories remind us this evening that we are people of hope. They remind us that as God's people, we are the people of hope. Even when it seems lonely to hope, even when we think that your hope doesn't matter. I'm just one little light in a dark world, but one light can become two lights, and two can become four. And there's this thing that happens, how people of hope draw other people of hope to them. And Simeon and Anna, a prophet and a prophetess, are here right in the middle of this story to remind us that we're the people of hope. I'd like the musicians to come up in just a moment. We're going to sing Silent Night, and we're going to do what we have to do if we're going to call this a candlelight service. But as we light the candle and then turn and light our neighbor's candle, it's a visual representation of what we can be and who we can be in this world as God's people, as Jesus followers. We are people of hope. We're the people who believe God in the middle of the waiting. We believe God in the middle of the longing. We're the people who are to be lights in a dark world. We're the people that God calls to remember, to be hopeful. From Jesus and through us comes the hope that the world is still longing for.